Today is December 8th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 107, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com.
You know, Brian, I have to start off by saying you are such a trooper. You really are.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. They should make a movie about me.
You know, they probably will. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, it seems inevitable, doesn't it? Seriously, though, Jeff's referring to the fact that I'm actually on a weekend trip with my wife as we celebrate our one-year anniversary, but I love you people, too, so I'm here doing the podcast.
So happy anniversary to you, Brian.
And, thank you very much, man. You know, and thanks to our readers for being here for us.
Yeah, I think it's great. And man, what a trooper! You're stashed away in a hotel somewhere, and we'll keep the location secret so that you can enjoy your anniversary privately.
Yeah, don't want to be mobbed by my legions of fans.
Well, you know, the whole paparazzi thing, it just gets ugly.
Yeah, exactly. So we actually have a couple of pieces of business to take care of.
We do.
So why don't we jump into that? We've got the winners for the Super Pass and Platinum Pass pass winners. I'm not sure how to say that for Macworld.
Right. Congratulations to both. And I'm really hoping you have their names in front of you because I don't.
I do because I'm good like that. Ron Strobel won the Platinum Pass and Matthew Dodd won the Super Pass. Emails were sent out to both of them and they had 24 hours to claim their passes. So hopefully they did so and are good to go now.
Excellent. And we have a new sponsor this week.
We do have a new sponsor this week. That's very exciting. AudiblePodcast.com.
That's right. And as a special deal for our listeners, they are offering a free Audible book.
Yes, they are, in fact, offering a free Audible or audio book. And AudiblePodcast.com is related to – it's part of the same company as Audible.com.
Right.
But very specifically, we're working with AudiblePodcast.com for this promotion. And they're giving away a free book to listeners of this show, and they can only get it by going to audiblepodcast.com/appleweekly. Now, we've got that URL in the show notes.
Right. So if you didn't write it down, don't worry. There's not a test later. Just go to macobserver.com, and we'll have the link there.
Yeah, and it's the only way you can get it. This promotional offer from Audible Podcast is only available at that URL. So you've got to basically be a listener to the show to even know about it. And it's an opportunity for you to get your own free download, and that's pretty darn spiffy.
It is, and it's not like you're only going to have a couple Audible books to choose from. You can sort through their entire library. It's like 35,000 some odd titles to choose from.
Yep, they're actually right now they're pushing on the site that they have 40,000, so they've probably added some since this information was first put together. But as I understand it, you can choose from the entire library for whatever you want your free audiobook to be, and you can get all the information on the promotion itself by clicking on that link at audiblepodcast.com/appleweekly. Now, we should also note that audible.com is the internet's leading provider of spoken audio entertainment. You can, of course, listen to things that you download wherever you want, just like the podcast that you're listening to right now.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool offer.
Yeah, it is indeed. Let's see. There is also a 14-day free trial of Audible listeners' gold and one free download, of course. And, of course, you have to go to the link. Audible downloads work on iPods, Trio, CDs, PCs, Macs, Windows, Linux, you name it, and it's going to work. listen wherever and whenever you want, just like you do with the Apple Weekly Report, and make sure you check out that link for that free download.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you know what? Dave put together some Mac-related books that you can get, too.
Oh, he did. And for those that don't know, we're talking about Dave Hamilton, our good friend and Mac Geek Gab host.
Yeah, Mac Geek Gab host and the president of the Mac Observer. Let's see, How to Survive a Robot Uprising. He tells me that's Mac-related. I'm going to trust him. The Search, How Google and Its Rivals Rewrote the Rules of Business and Transformed Our Culture.
They also have the IWAS book, yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh,
yep,
yeah. You hit it. IWAS, How I Invented the Personal Computer and Had Fun Along the Way. It's the unabridged version, which is even better.
Yep, and Stephen Levy, The Perfect Thing, How the iPod Shuffles, Commerce, Culture, and Coolness.
Yep, and Icon, Steve Jobs, The Great Second Act in the History of Business.
Yeah, which, by the way, is a very good book. I've read that book, and I enjoyed that book. I learned quite a few things in that book, and to me, I found it to be of great insight. And you might also note that it's the book that caused Apple to ban Wiley's books out of the Apple stores.
That's right, it is.
Yeah, and then go ahead and hit that last one.
There we go. Alan Dutchman's The Second Coming of Steve Jobs.
Yeah, also a good book.
Yes.
Also a very good book. So there you have it. It's our new sponsor, audiblepodcast.com. Make sure you hit the show notes, hit the link, check out the free trial, get your free audio download. You know, I'm not a huge audiobook fan in that I don't constantly listen to them, but when I have them, I listen to them and I enjoy it immensely.
Yeah, you know, one of the cool things for me with Audible books is that if you don't have time to pick up a book or the ability to carry a book with you somewhere, mm-hmm. an iPod fits in your pocket real easy.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed listening to Potter. Apple gave us free copies of, I think it was The Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, very cool.
When they first announced Audible books coming to iTunes, and audiobooks coming to iTunes. And I've enjoyed that on airplanes. You know, a bunch of different places where I couldn't necessarily read but wanted to enjoy some Potter.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Let's move on to the news.
I think that sounds like a great idea. Apple is facing a lawsuit over the iPhone's visual voicemail feature. Analysts are expecting the company will have a blockbuster holiday season. Apple opened a new retail store in New York City. CompUSA is on the way out. New Get a Mac ads hit the airwaves. AT&T is opening its wireless network to any hardware. And Steve Jobs was named CEO of the Year.
Apple is facing a $360 million patent lawsuit from Klausner Technologies, who claimed the company violated two of its patents with the iPhone's visual voicemail feature. Klausner Technologies has already successfully defended these patents in court more than once, and the company says that it is licensing its technology to several other companies, including Vonage and AOL. The suit was filed in U.S. Eastern District of Texas federal court by the California law firm Dovell & Lunar.
Apple's iPod and iPhone may be the focus for many people, but RBC analyst Mike Abramsky thinks investors should keep their eyes on the Macintosh, too. The recent release of macOS 10.5, new iMacs, and the increase in Windows switchers sets Apple up for what Mr. Abramsky calls a quote-unquote massive holiday season for the Mac that could see a 47% year-over-year increase in sales. Bear Stearns analyst Andrew Neff and American technology research analyst Sha Wu also see a strong holiday season for Apple based on the company's current product lineup. Mr. Wu added that Apple's unusually optimistic guidance for the December quarter could turn out to be conservative after all. He commented, quote, "While we remain concerned with potential softness in U.S. consumer spending, it appears that Apple is once again positioned to buck the trend," end quote. Apple opened its third store in New York City Friday evening. The West 14th Street retail store is the company's first three-story location and is New York City's largest Apple venue. The West 14th Street Apple store offers two levels of retail shopping and a third-floor Genius Bar and a training center. It also offers specially designed areas for workshops and specialized training along with Pro Labs, where customers can get free in-depth training on Apple applications. And it looks like Apple is planning for high traffic in its newest store as well. The location will include over 175 employees, including Mac specialists, Mac geniuses, and creative pros. The city also hosts Apple's two-story Soho and the Glass Cube Fifth Avenue stores. And while Apple is expanding its presence, former retail partner CompUSA is finally throwing in the towel and closing its doors for good once the holiday season ends. The tech retailer was sold to the restructuring and investment firm Gordon Brothers Group, who plans to liquidate the company's assets. The 103 stores that survived the company's downsizing several months ago will continue to operate through the holiday buying season, but Gordon Brothers Group is already working on selling off the CompUSA.com online business, the CompUSA Tech Pro service business, and stores in certain key markets. CompUSA executives were hoping to avoid this scenario when they closed the doors on over half of their stores earlier this year. The move, which ultimately proved to be unsuccessful, was intended to streamline company expenses and boost profits. Apple began pulling its store-in-a-store centers from CompUSA locations when the retailers started scaling back in February. The Cupertino company launched a similar test program in Best Buy stores and later expanded that into a full-on program. Gordon Brothers hasn't stated how long it expects the shutdown and liquidation will take, but based on CompUSA's current state, most customers probably won't notice when the doors finally do close for good.
Apple is expanding its presence in the advertising world. The company released two new Get a Mac ads this week, Misprint and Now What? Like other recent commercials featuring John Hodgman as PC and Justin Long as Mac, Misprint takes a hard jab at Windows Vista, this time pointing out that PC World magazine says the Mac can run Windows faster than PCs. Now What highlights the computer buying experience in Apple's retail stores, personal shopping assistants, and one-to-one training. Both commercials continue Apple's more aggressive anti-Windows campaign, but Now What takes a slightly different spin by going after the PC market in general and unpleasant buying and support experiences in other tech retailers. Both ads are available on the Apple website in QuickTime format.
AT&T threw open the gates this week by moving to allow any wireless phone, software application, or device from any manufacturer on its wireless network. And it may well be in response to Google's entrance into the smartphone market with its open Android platform. AT&T Wireless CEO Ralph De La Vega commented, quote, "You can use any handset on our network you want. We don't prohibit it or even police it," end quote. Google's alliance with several companies, including AT&T rival Sprint, is moving towards a market where smartphones and their applications can more easily jump from network to network thanks to the open architecture Android offers instead of the proprietary offerings most cell phone carriers offer today. Since AT&T's open door goes only one way, however, iPhone users in the United States won't be able to take their combination iPod and smartphone to other carrier networks. They should be able, however, to put their iPhone SIM card in most any unlocked phone if they want.
A German court slapped down Vodafone this week when it ruled that rival cell carrier service carrier T-Mobile could sell the iPhone without offering an unlocked version. Vodafone won a case in November forcing T-Mobile to offer the iPhone in both locked and unlocked versions, but that ruling was reversed on an appeal on Tuesday. Apple struck a deal with T-Mobile to be the exclusive iPhone carrier in Germany, but Vodafone claimed that agreement violated laws in the country. Vodafone originally won an injunction in early November that required T-Mobile to offer a version of the iPhone with an unlocked SIM card so the handheld could be used with other service providers. T-Mobile began offering the iPhone with either a locked SIM card or, for a very steep price increase, with an unlocked SIM card to comply with the German court ruling. T-Mobile filed an appeal contending that the iPhone's functionality was severely hampered when used on other cell networks because it is the only carrier in Germany offering edge-based wireless data service. Company plans to drop the unlocked SIM iPhone as soon as possible and return to its original plan of offering the unit only with its own service plans. Now that T-Mobile has won its appeal, France is the only country requiring an option to purchase an unlocked iPhone. AT&T has an exclusive iPhone contract with Apple in the United States, and O2 has the exclusive contract for the United Kingdom.
Several retailers in Singapore's Sim Lim Square mall stopped selling unlocked iPhones after Apple's legal team threatened legal action. Apple warned the retailers that they could be liable for $1,000 US for each iPhone they sold, since they aren't authorized to sell the hacked handhelds. The iPhone had been unlocked so they could be used with any cell carrier by applying unauthorized hacks. And while reselling the combination iPod and smartphone in its locked state doesn't violate Singapore laws, hacking the software to unlock it violates copyright laws. Unlocked iPhones may not be visible on the SimLim Square store shelves anymore, but that doesn't mean customers can't get a hold of them. At least one store at the mall claims it can quote-unquote bring in the handheld for interested customers. Apple is hoping to officially launch the iPhone in Asia sometime in 2008.
The accolades keep pouring in for Apple and Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Market Watch readers picked their choice for the 2007 CEO of the Year, and the name that floated to the top of the list was, now please wait for it, wait for it, wait for it.
I'm waiting.
The Apple CEO Steve Jobs. Woo! Mr. Jobs beat out a list of finalists that included Microsoft Steve Ballmer, John Chambers of Cisco, HP CEO Mark Hurd, and Eric Schmidt from Google. Poll participant Bonito Flakes commented, quote, how could Steve Jobs not win this award? His company is redefining the consumer electronics space in a little side business they call the Mac and OS X, unquote. Mr. Jobs has been credited with giving Apple a focus in guiding several products that led to the company's resurgence. The iMac, the iPod, and the iPhone were all developed on his watch, and his drive for the iTunes Store helped change the online media market. Last week, Mr. Jobs was named the most powerful business person in the world by Fortune magazine. And it's time for the Context Machine, where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on. What's on your mind this week, Jeff?
CompUSA is so on my mind.
Well, you know, I kind of have the feeling that we have two different opinions of CompUSA.
You know, maybe so. Now, of course, we live in different parts of the country, so we may very well have been getting different CompUSA experiences as well. But I certainly was not surprised when the news came out that CompUSA was going to be closing its doors. And actually, last week, I had to go buy a new keyboard because I broke mine. That kind of happens a lot. I bang on them really hard. So I needed to go buy a keyboard. CompUSA is like 10 minutes away from where I live. So I ran over to the store and was appalled by the way the place looked inside. It was just complete disarray. The employees had no clue what was going on in the store. And I even at one point asked one of the employees if the store was closing, because that's how it looked inside. You know, like when you know the store is done and gone and they just start piling everything up to get it out the front door as quick as they can. That's how it looked. Now, of course, they said...
Yeah, it almost sounds like a Fry's Electronics.
You know, now, and see, that's the different perspective we have, because you're in California where you have Fry's all the time. I'm in Colorado where Fry's doesn't exist. So when I travel to California, I oftentimes make a point to go visit Fry's because it's a better experience in CompUSA for me.
Yeah, and generally speaking, I'd rather poke my eye out with or maybe just like spoon it out with some sort of delicate hors d'oeuvre oriented spoon than go into Fry's.
You know, on the scale of how bad that is, I notice you picked a high quality instrument to remove your eye, as opposed to stick to perform the extraction. So I guess that says something there.
Well, yeah, okay. So the reason why I have a more benevolent look at CompUSA is because back in Austin, Texas, the CompUSA the one that was on Research Avenue, I'm not even sure if it's still open, had a very good Mac presence, and they always managed to hire a couple people that actually knew Macs and actually took care of them. So even while the rest of the stores were dissing Macs, and rest of the store, I should say, was dissing Macs, at least when you actually got over there, you found a bunch of products and you actually found someone that knew what they were doing. And then once they opened up the stores within a store, they were always, of course, well-staffed and had lots of goodies. And you know, before Apple opened its own fleet of retail stores, that was one of the only places you could really go to get Mac stuff, unless you happen to have a mom and pop.
Sure, sure. You know, now the Westminster, Colorado Apple Store, CompUSA, the one that I would go to regularly, when they had the store in a store, I would actually plan my trips to the store based on the day that the Apple employee would be there.
Sure, yeah.
And it was great. Sense. But I would avoid the rest of the store. I'd come in, shoot to the back right corner, chat with Buddy. He was a great guy. And do my Apple stuff there, you know, grab whatever I needed, pay for it and leave. But now that the store in a store is gone, well, and now that I know that for sure that they really are closing, man, it was a dive, really. It was a sad thing to go in and see that place.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I mean, all my, I guess I have a sympathetic spot for CompUSA because, again, they were the one store that believed in Apple enough to open up the store within a store concept with Apple. And again, it was the only place to really go, at least in Austin at that time, to get Apple stuff. And I remember covering the IMAX release back in, I guess, what, 97?
Uh-huh.
At that CompUSA, and it was, you know, it was a party atmosphere. It was the kind of festive atmosphere that, you know, we've come to expect from an Apple event at an Apple retail store, even if, of course, it wasn't, you know, anywhere near as developed as that. But I mean, it was a good time. So I've got a soft spot in my heart for CompUSA, and I thought that once they started redesigning all their stores and you know, really presenting their product in a very professional manner, which is what they were doing again in Austin in the late 90s, it was probably one of the best experiences to be able to get consumer electronics goods and PC and Mac stuff for a lot of folks.
You know, maybe the difference that we have in our CompUSA experiences has played into why CompUSA is now in the position where they're sadly going to be going away. Because you've had all these great experiences, but the CompUSAs that I visited in Colorado, by and large, I was not impressed with the stores. They didn't have a professional layout. It was difficult to find things, and it was difficult to get good help as well.
Well, again, that's funny. It really sounds like Fry's, at least here in California. You know, by the way, it's somewhat interesting. I had really good experiences with Fry's in Austin. They opened up a store in the late 20th century, which sounds so funny to say, as opposed to the stores here in California, which most of which have been open for many, many, many years. Store in Austin was clean. It was well organized. The staff largely seemed fairly helpful. Stores here in California, especially in the Bay Area, are just, you know, they're dirty. They're just dirty. They're completely unorganized, and getting help is completely out of the question. And it's funny, every time you say that about CompUSA, it actually makes me think of Fry's. And again, there was that regional difference.
You know, I'm seeing a trend here, and I think the trend is if you want to go to an electronic superstore and have a good experience, you need to hop on a plane or get in your car and go to Austin.
Yeah, unless, of course, you're going to an Apple store, which, you know, there, we can talk about the maybe part of why Apple has had such just amazing success with its Apple stores is the consistent experience you get.
You know, yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I've walked into Apple stores all over the United States, and when you walk in, you know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very consistent experience. The one place where I don't always have an equally good experience, sadly, is at the Genius Bar. And I think that's only because you have different people with different skill set levels at the Genius Bar. So you can't always get the person that knows the answer to your question, you know, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
But yeah, Apple has done a really good job of setting up a retail experience that's consistent, that's friendly, that's enjoyable, and I think that's why it's working for them all over the country and now all over the world.
Yeah, probably. And in the meanwhile, you know, back to finish up on the CompUSA thing, it really doesn't surprise me that they're going under either, because I think that the computer market is just so vastly different than it was when CompUSA opened. You know, and even Best Buy has had to change their in-store design and their approach to the business. You know, the CompUSA and Best Buy used to be a lot alike.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they diverged. And, of course, Best Buy actually made the very deliberate choice to drop the bottom 20% of its customer base, the people that were looking for deals and bought, basically the bottom feeders. And they very specifically decided they didn't want that business anymore and retooled their stores accordingly. But you didn't know that, huh?
No, I didn't. But now that I know it, it totally makes sense, because the Best Buys that are near me, they all have a much cleaner look. They are organized in a fashion that I never saw at CompUSA, or in your case, at Fry's. And they have that the Magnolia Center, the whole professional home theater audio centers in them now. And the computer sections aren't that big, but the other consumer electronics that they carry, they have a wide range of products, and they're easy to find and easy to demo too.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, that's something that Apple's stores are really good at too. It's really easy to find what you're looking for, and it's really easy to demo the products that they have.
Which is probably, you know, big part of why Steve Jobs was voted top CEO in that MarketWatch poll.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all. And that poll, it was a reader's poll.
Of course, right. Of course. And it's a lot different from fortune calling Steve the most powerful business person.
Right, but it does show the perception that the public, or at least the MarketWatch readership public, has about Steve Jobs.
It's true. It wasn't that long ago when MarketWatch readers were always dogging Apple.
Right, and you know, now there's people singing his praises. They're talking about how he turned the company around, and these are things that a few years ago you would not have heard the journalists, or certainly not the public, saying.
That's absolutely true. So congrats to Steve. I'm sure that he was waiting with bated breath to find out the results of that poll.
I'm sure he was sitting at home, up late at night, iPhone in hand, waiting for Phil Schiller to send him a text message to let him know.
Phil, give me a list of everybody that reads MarketWatch. I want to send them a note.
There you go. It could happen.
Yes, sir, Steve. we kid Phil because we love him.
Yeah.
And we kid Jobs because we love him.
Yeah, well, you know,
as a shareholder, I love him. Woo!
As a shareholder, you should love him.
As someone, that's a tiny stake, I might add.
Yeah, well, your tiny stake is way above my nose stake.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah, so, twice nothing is still nothing, to quote Gandalf.
Right. Now, since I have no Apple stock, how did you manage to get married? How did that happen?
I don't know, man. It is a wonder to us all.
You know, and your wife is incredible, wonderful, beautiful, everything that you could ever want in a wife. And
it's because she's a geek, and she would have understood both the Gandalf joke and the sounds that I was making too.
Okay,
that's how come I got married.
Okay, and you know, and honestly, even though I'm sitting here kind of jabbing you a little bit, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
And you guys are a fantastic couple.
And I was setting myself up to be jabbed, so that's quite all right. But let's close out the context machine with the AT&T thing. Kind of interesting, huh?
Yeah. You know, on one hand, I thought, what the hell? This is kind of out of left field. But then I sat back and took a minute to actually let my brain do what it's supposed to do and think. And I thought, well, yeah, this kind of makes sense that AT&T would make such an announcement, because the market's changing. And even though cell companies move at a glacial rate, they're seeing the writing on the wall. So the fact that AT&T said, oh, by the way, you can use any device on the network now, we don't care. I think that's what we're going to start seeing across the board.
Oh, yeah, everybody's going to follow suit now. With Google pushing the way and now AT&T, who was one of the larger companies in the space,
right.
Everybody else is going to fall into place. And it's going to be funny because the only thing you're not going to be able to move freely is going to be the iPhone.
Oh, my God, I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
Think differently, Steve's way.
And there you go. Yeah, so in one sense, Steve Jobs is sort of like the Henry Ford. You know, you can have any cell phone you want as long as it's the iPhone.
Exactly. You can have any carrier you want. Yeah, you can have any carrier you want as long as it's AT&T. And the quote that he's referring to, by the way, which is a great one, is you can have any color you want in a car as long as it's black.
Right.
Yeah, I still didn't quote it correctly, but that's what he's referring to.
That's okay. The quote is close enough, and for people that didn't know the quote, they get the point now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because that's an example of the market eventually forcing a change. You know, Henry Ford had just massive power back then, massive power in the automobile industry.
He did.
The Model T was just, you know, the low-end juggernaut of the car world, and he did have that attitude. You can have any color you want as long as it's black. And the market eventually forced him to change his tune on that.
Yeah, but for a while, man, what a great marketing plan.
Is there a message there for Steve?
Yeah, the message is that eventually we'll have the iPhone in different colors. No, wait.
Maybe. No, we're going to have different carriers. You know, I think that when it's all said and done, the AT&T's exclusive contract is going to be less than 5 years. I think that that's going to end up happening.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised either.
And I don't even know why they did it for 5 years. It should have been 2 years.
My guess is that was a concession that Apple made, because we still did have the whole unknown about how the iPhone is really going to perform.
Right. Right.
But it wouldn't surprise me if that 5-year exclusive contract becomes 2 or 3 years instead.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we've already seen a half year.
Right.
Time flies when you're making phone calls.
It sure does. And when you're texting on a keyboard, that, by the way, for me works beautifully.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I dig it. Although I don't dig it when I have a Band-Aid on my thumb.
Because
then I have to go to one thumb.
I had never thought of that. But then again, apparently in the past 6 months, I haven't had to bandage my fingers at all.
Fair enough.
Wow.
Fair enough. Well, that's a pretty interesting week, I think.
Yeah. You know, when the week started off, I was thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be a hard one to put together a good show. But by the time the week ended, I found that I had to actually be really selective about what we covered, because we don't do a 2 or 3 hour show.
Right. Although, you know, we could. Let us know if you think that we should do a 2 or 3 hour show. I'm really hoping you say no. And actually, on that note, this would probably be a good time to bring our listener comment up.
I think that's a really good time, yes.
All right, hit that riff.
Okay, AWR listener James Law, he wanted to point out that he's had some trouble with the audio levels in our podcast recently. Here's what he said. I have to turn the volume on my iPhone all the way up, and even then it's difficult to hear, especially Jeff. I'm sorry, I'll talk louder. Heaven forbid, if I happen to be anywhere other than a soundproof closed environment, I would struggle to hear. All other podcasts sound okay, but in order to be sure, I navigated to the Mac Observer website and clicked to listen to your podcast, and also had to turn the volume up. I thoroughly enjoy your show, so please, please record at a higher volume.
And thank you kindly for the nice words.
Yes, and so, of course, oh, the irony that this is this week's comment when you're holed away in a mystery hotel room having to work with portable equipment and not the regular professional mic that you use.
Yes, that's actually quite true. And so, you know, hopefully this week won't be even worse. You know, we've been working on our audio quality, folks, and it's interesting because I haven't found any volume issues, but James's comments were not the first about us being too quiet. So we are going to be spending some time this week. Actually, may have to wait until Dave comes back from vacation. We want to offer you a great experience, a great podcasting experience, and our listenership has been growing in leaps and bounds, and we appreciate that, and we don't want to turn anybody off. So we'll continue to work on it, and definitely let us know if you got a problem.
That's right. Yeah, without your feedback, it will be much more difficult for us to know when we hit that sweet spot.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That is absolutely true. And with that, thanks again, James, for the comment, both the criticism and the very, very kind words about the quality of the show. We appreciate that very much.
Right. And for everyone out there, if you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and your feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded for TMO, and that's all for this week, except for the fact that we'd like to thank, once again, our new sponsor, audiblepodcast.com.
Right. Head on over to audiblepodcast.com/Apple Weekly and get a hold of your free audiobook.
And or hit the link in the show notes.
That's right. And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Thanks, folks.